Welcome to It Ain't Over, a multi-monthly podcast exploring the ever-changing world that is technology. Brought to you by Rich Web, a full-service IT company located in Ashland, Virginia, specializing in cloud-managed services, helping business owners be more profitable by letting our experienced team manage their IT network so they can manage their business. Rich Web, driving enterprise IT. And now, it ain't over.
Welcome to show 5, It Ain't Over, because IT's ever changing. Today's topic, living on the edge, firewall protection. And today we have on the phone Joe Dahlquist from ThreatStop. He's the VP of Product Management. Joe, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Paul?
Doing great. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be with you.
So, Joe, tell us a little bit about what you do. I know you're the VP Product Management there. What goes on at ThreatStop? What are you in charge of?
Yeah, well, a lot of things go on at ThreatStop. Being in cybersecurity is an exciting place. I've been in product management for almost 20 years, and this is probably the first industry I've worked in where the challenges that you face change right underneath your feet on a day-to-day basis. Other industries like to stay still for a little bit longer than the cybersecurity industry does. And we build great software and really great products that are aimed at primarily small and medium-sized businesses who really struggle with security, especially in the current market where, you know, every security company says they do it all and that they're the best. So we try and bring some real truth to cybersecurity for the smaller companies that are struggling to protect themselves like the big boys do.
You know, we hear the term sometimes edge protection or firewall edge. Why is it important to stop the threats at the doorway for a network, for a company?
Yeah, I mean, it's important for a number of reasons, but, you know, maybe drawing an analogy might help us understand it a little bit better. You know, if the world was a rougher place, criminals crawling the street, and you had, you know, some valuable treasure that you kept in your bedroom, sort of like the sensitive data that might be in your databases or, you know, customer information that might be in your Salesforce instance or, intellectual property. You'd keep that treasure under lock and key. Of course, you know, you put locks on the front door. You have windows with latches. Perhaps you have a gate around your house, and perhaps around your community you have a guard at a guard post. That's how real-world security is done to prevent you from having to fight off the bad guy trying to steal your treasure in your bedroom in the middle of the night every time. Networks need to be configured in a similar fashion. The valuable assets, the sensitive data in your network are stored on laptops. They're in smartphones these days. They are on servers, in databases, and you don't want to fight the battle with an attacker and potentially lose at the same place where all of that sensitive data is. You really want to try and remove as many threats as possible, as far away from your treasure as is realistic to do. And so protecting networks out at the edge and dropping as many threats that could lead to an expensive or catastrophic breach out at the edge of the network instead of on those endpoints, the better. You want to be able to prevent everything you can and only allow in the traffic that you think is necessary for doing business.
And that's a great analogy. You know, it's kind of like the bouncer at the front of a nightclub or whatever. You know, he's only letting the proper people in and making sure they don't come in with weapons or anything else. How does ThreatStop do that differently from some other cybersecurity firewall protection software that's out there currently?
Yeah, you know, firewalls might be the single greatest security tool in a security practitioner's, you know, bag of tricks. But it requires that they're properly configured. By themselves, firewalls are just big, dumb computers. It's the access control lists and the zones and the segmentation that really provides the security in a firewall. And those all have to be configured. And it's really the hardest ongoing job of any security team is the day-to-day management of the access control lists, which set the rules for what on the internet can talk to devices inside my network and what devices in my network can talk to on the internet. And having filtering that allows you to continue to do business but blocks as much of the unnecessary to doing business stuff from being able to connect to each other, the greater your security is going to be, the lower your risk profile is going to be, and the smaller your attack surface area, you know, that whole range of vulnerabilities and ways in for a bad guy is going to get. And ThreatStop helps solve that problem by automating the updates to the firewall access control lists and the ACLs that are in routers and switches and the filtering lists that are in IDS, IPS systems, and even the DNS rules that are in DNS servers. And we make those updates in real time based on threat intelligence that we gather from more than 850 of the world's most foremost experts on threat intelligence.
Yeah, and those sites and things that are either said yes or no to, is that what is referred to as the whitelist or the blacklisting of a domain or IP addresses and that sort of thing?
You're exactly right, Paul. Things that you want to allow are typically called a whitelist, right? Mm-hmm. I always want to be able to connect to maybe it's Office 365's IP addresses because we use Office 365 for email. ThreatStop doesn't personally. I'd never divulge what we use for email. But if you're a company that's configuring a whitelist, you want to make sure that you allow all the things that you need to do business. And conversely, a blacklist is the list of things that you want to block and never allow to communicate. And sometimes it's not always just threats. Sometimes it's just a need-to-know basis. Like, do I really need people in a sales department able to connect to maybe a production web server or a database where only developers should have access or the operations team? So blacklists are the cornerstone of security, especially at the edge.
Yeah, and yeah, I know there's an example of that. We had with a client that they're an automotive dealership, and some of their folks for, you know, I guess research purposes or whatever, were trying to get out on certain automotive websites, and it was continually getting blocked. But it was because where those sites were being hosted as to why those IPs were coming back as a flag for the blacklisted and vulnerable. And so we had to check it first to make sure that anybody else on that particular server would not be vulnerable if we allowed, you know, either temporary access or access. And I'm sure you run into that a lot, too, where it may have a slight vulnerability, but maybe there's an actual need, but it could be a temporary need.
You know, and one customer's false positive, which is the term for, you know, kind of the industry standard term for blocking something incorrectly, is another customer's good security protection. And so it varies a lot from business to business how sensitive they might be to over-blocking or having a false positive. And false positives is a fact of life to some degree. We're really proud that with more than 25 million on average IP addresses and domains in our system, we have less than a 0.001% false positive rate. And what a lot of organizations need to understand is that things can be bad for minutes or just a few hours and then get cleaned up and no longer be malicious. And so blocking even a popular website that might, you know, have users going to it on a regular basis could be bad. It could be hosting malicious advertising unknowingly. Mm-hmm. And that site should be blocked for a period of time and then unblocked when there's no longer a threat there. And that's one of the benefits of our system is we automate all of that. We know the domains and the IPs that are bad right this moment. And by automating the updates to firewall rules, we can block it for the period of time that it's bad and then remove that entry from a blacklist when it's no longer malicious and is safe to browse. And that's a lot of work for a small IT team or even a good-sized IT team. You know, it would take a lot of time to make 5,000 or 500,000 changes to a firewall rule every day, and yet we can do that through automation and the platform that we've built.
Through your technology that you've developed with this software.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll continue this conversation next time with Joe from ThreatStomp. Don't forget to check out our social media outlets as well as richweb.com and on Spotify. Until next time, it ain't over.